whoever orchestrated Thanksgiving and Christmas this close together, and I'm sure it was divine providence. Because everybody's like, oh, you know, Christmas is some pagan holiday and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, but God knew that if we took December 25th, then we added Advent, and then, you know, a few thousand years or about 1,500 years later, we would discover there would be an American Thanksgiving and we would get to do all of it together. That's how providence works. And the feeling is electric. I love it. This is my time of year. This is when things happen. This is when there's, I hate the term magic in the air, but there's a sense of the divine in the air and in our lives. Hear these words. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 60. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can understand it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, hear our words, the cries of our hearts. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Bread. In many cultures, this bread is a metaphor. You guys have probably heard of sayings such as, the breadwinner. The breadwinner in a home has nothing to do with actual bread. It's not that they won a loaf of bread in a drawing or anything like that. It means that this is the household's main economic contributor. The term breadbasket actually denotes an agriculturally productive region. In Russia in 1917, the Bolsheviks promised peace, land, and bread. In India, life's basic necessities are often referred to as roti, kapra, or makan, bread, cloth, and house. In Israel, the most usual phrase in unemployment-related demonstrations is lechem avoda, bread and work. Every culture has one type of bread. Our Hispanic friends have tortillas, our French friends have baguettes, Indians have naan and roti, Australians have bush bread, Africans have mandazi, and Americans, we have Papa John's. No, we have the best bread. We have Krispy Kreme. And we know where Krispy Kreme was founded, right? Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Yes, the greatest state in the Union. But we as a Christian community also have bread. Not bread like anything this world has seen before. As a matter of fact, it's a bread that doesn't even come for this world, so that when we get distracted by the things of this world, we look to this heavenly bread. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. What a perfect, perfect line, especially for this season. One of my two favorite things in this season is that we get to celebrate not only Thanksgiving, but we get to celebrate community. And the bread of life, Jesus, the bread of life, intricately, miraculously links these two things of community, two of my favorite things, community and Thanksgiving. I love this season. And that's the great focus today. Not only that we get to give thanks on Thursday, and all throughout the Christmas season. I think that Thanksgiving is something that can keep going, should keep going throughout the Christmas season, that we get to do it as a community. And not only a community of faith, not only a church, but we get to reach out to the community. I don't know if you guys see it or not the way that I see it, but it seems like even the church is more generous. It's not good, but I'm glad that it happens. It's not just good that we do it this time of year, but I am glad. It seems like everybody just seems to be a little bit more generous this time of year. 2,000 years later, we have come to understand the prophetic nature of Jesus' words. Back then, when he was saying, listen, you've got to eat my flesh and you've got to drink my blood, you can understand it sounded a little weird. If Mark told me that this afternoon, I'd probably stay away from Mark for a while. But we understand 2,000 years later the prophetic nature of Jesus' words. What he meant was, what he was talking about, was this community that he was going to create through communion. That's what we call it. That he was actually instituting what we would come to know as the Lord's Supper. And he would open the doors of the church. He would open the doors of the kingdom of God to everyone. Because we would have communion, a community of faith. Anyone who would partake of this bread, anyone who could partake of this bread would have life. No matter how they looked, no matter where they were from, no matter who they were, anyone who would partake of this bread would have life. There's a story told about this little old cleaning woman that went to a local church, and when the invitation was given at the end of the service, she went forward and she wanted to become a member of the church. The pastor listened as she told him how she had accepted Jesus and wanted to be baptized and become a member of the church. And the pastor thought to himself, oh my, she is so unkempt. She even smells a little. Her fingernails are not clean. She picks up garbage, cleans toilets. Who, what would the members, what would the other members think of her? He told her that she needed to go home and pray about it and then decide. The following week, here she came again. She told the pastor that she had prayed about it and she still wanted to be baptized. I've passed this church for so long, she said. It's so beautiful and I truly want to become a member. Again, the pastor told her to go home and pray some more. And a few weeks later, while out eating at a restaurant, the pastor saw the little old lady. He did not want her to think that he was trying to ignore her. So he approached her and he said, I've not seen you for a while. Is everything okay? Oh, yes, she said, I talked with Jesus, and he told me not to worry about becoming a member of your church. He did, said the pastor. Oh, yes, she replied. He says he's been trying to get into your church for years, and you guys still haven't let him in yet. The community that Christmas and Thanksgiving creates, open to everyone, and the bread of life, the bread that brings us all together, this communion table that brings us all together. That is the miracle of John chapter 6. I am the bread of life. The first I am statement, by the way. We call it communion. Communion is derived from the Latin word communio, which means sharing in common. And that word, biblically, is actually derived from another word that many of you probably have heard before, koinonia. And koinonia means fellowship. The word communion actually means fellowship. It brings us together. The disciples looked at Jesus and said, who can accept this? This is a hard saying. Maybe the hard thing about it was that they realized that once they had koinonia, once they had fellowship, that they would have to accept certain people that they didn't like. Those Gentile dogs, those Samaritans, those unlovable people, that little old lady that cleans toilets and picks up garbage that may want to be a member of our church. They'd have to accept that. And sometimes that's a hard saying. Sometimes that's a hard thing to accept. That we have to, as this community of faith, accept people that we may not want to otherwise accept. But communion also has another word. I don't know how many of you have heard the word Eucharist. Eucharist is an interesting word. How many of you heard the word before? I'm just curious. Okay. How many of you know what it means? The word Eucharist is a really interesting word, especially given what we're about to celebrate. The word Eucharist actually means thanksgiving. Do you see it? It's kind of right there in front of you. The bread of life brings together community and thanksgiving in one perfect unity. John chapter 6 is an interesting book. Maybe in more, even more prophetic manner than the church fathers realize. Maybe in that, in the way that Jesus works things out. In the same way that Thanksgiving comes right before Christmas and we get to celebrate it all together. The way that Jesus works it out, he says, listen, you guys are focused on bread. This is John chapter 6. You guys are focused on bread that will perish, but I am bringing you bread that will give you life and life eternal. Guess what we do at Thanksgiving here in the United States? We focus on bread that will perish. And the whole time Jesus is standing there saying, listen, you're going to get hungry again. And for those of you that have celebrated a few Thanksgiving, you know you're eating up until 9 o'clock. Not because you're hungry, because it's there. But you know that Friday you're going to get hungry again. Saturday you're going to get hungry again. But it's not about that. It's about finding what really matters. The bread of life. That's the season we're in. Almost providentially, where God says to all of us, the entire, let me pick on the Western world of those highly industrialized nations, we are at the pinnacle, the tip of the spear when it comes to the Western world. We as the United States of America, almost says to the entire Western world, listen, we have plenty. We live in a land of plenty. We live in a land of not enough, but more than enough. Stop focusing on things that will fill your belly and start focusing on those things that are eternal. Stop focusing on things that will pass away and fade away, and start focusing on those things that have eternal value. Start focusing on not just bread, but the bread of life. It's worth the focus. It's easy to get distracted this year. And you know that because of last year when you got distracted. But you have another chance to stay focused on what really matters. Every year I challenge you around the Thanksgiving table, as Mark pointed out. It's always tough having Mark do the children's sermon. I feel like he looks at my sermon notes first. But every year I challenge us around the Thanksgiving table to say, I'm thankful for Jesus. Well, of course, yeah, everybody says, oh, yeah, of course we're thankful for Jesus, as if that's just understood. But I guarantee that so few people around the Thanksgiving table will say that this year. I'm thankful for grace because I don't deserve it. I'm thankful for forgiveness, God's forgiveness. I'm thankful for the forgiveness of my friends and family. I'm thankful for what's really important. There's a story told, and I'll close with this story. Story told about Jim Cimbala. I don't know how many of you are familiar with him. Preacher in New York at this time. This is his story. He says, at the end of the evening service, I sat down on the edge of the platform, exhausted as others continued to pray with those who had responded to Christ. The organist was playing quietly and I wanted to relax. I was just starting to unwind when I looked up to see this man. He had shabby clothing and matted hair. And he was standing in the center of the aisle about four rows back and waiting for permission to approach me. I nodded and gave him a weak little wave of my hand. Look at how this Sunday is going to end, I thought to myself. He's going to hit me up for money. This happens often in this church. I'm so tired, continued Simbala. When he came close, I saw that his two front teeth were missing, but more striking was his odor. The mixture of alcohol and sweat and urine and garbage took my breath away. I've been around many street people, but this was the strongest stench I've ever encountered. I instinctively had to turn my head sideways to inhale. Then I looked back in his direction while breathing out, and I asked his name. David, he says softly. How long have you been homeless, David?
6 years, he says.
Where did you sleep last night, David? In the abandoned truck, said David. I had heard enough and wanted to get this over with quickly. I reached for the money clip in my back pocket. At that moment, David put his finger in front of my face and said, No, you don't understand. I don't want your money. I'm going to die out there. I want this Jesus that I heard about tonight. I hesitated, then I closed my eyes, and I said, God, forgive me. I felt soiled and cheap. Me, a minister of the gospel, and I'd wanted simply to get rid of him. When he was crying out for help, Christ. When he was crying out for the help of Christ, I had just preached about. I swallowed hard as God flooded my soul. David sensed the change in me. He moved toward me, and he fell on my chest, burying his grimy head against my white shirt and tie. And holding him close, what happens when you read books. Holding him close, I talked to him about Jesus' love. These weren't just words. I felt them. I felt love for this pitiful young man, and that smell, I don't know how to explain it. At one point, it had almost made me sick, but now it became the most beautiful fragrance for me. I reveled in what had been repulsive just a moment ago. The bread of life calls us to community. And we don't get to pick and choose. This season can be so different. I love this season. Even people who aren't Christian are talking about Christmas. Even people who don't care about the church are going to show up for church. And we have an opportunity to embrace them. And to talk to them about the love of Jesus Christ. What a gift we've been given this season. To share with them the bread of life. And life in all of its fullness. The word of God to the people of God. Thanks be to God.